For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Dear listeners, welcome to the Kodesh Family Church, Philadelphia, under the leadership of Bishop Dag Heward Mills. This denomination has grown with over several branches all over the world. We are excited to come your way with the anointed word of God, which has the power to heal, deliver, and save you. Stay tuned as we receive God's word through his servant, Reverend Gilbert Fleischer.
The Lord is good. His mercies endureth forevermore. Thank you, Lord. Let's bless him for what he's doing in our church. Let's bless him. Let's thank him. Let's give him praise. What he's doing in our diocese, let's thank him. Let's give him praise. We bless you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, please be seated. Tonight, I want to share with you something very small here. It's something that a lot of you know already. But let me first begin by reading 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. Did I get it right? Yeah, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2. Hey, who is bringing the verse? No, let's forgive them. So it says that, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Moreover, very important, above all, moreover. Moreover means it's stressed that it is a requirement that a man be found faithful. So God wants us to be faithful. Another word for faithfulness is loyal. To stay on course. You know, staying on course does not mean that nothing went wrong. You understand? I mean, everywhere you are, things will go sometimes uncomfortable. But God wants us to stay on course even when things don't go well. And he's saying here that it is a requirement. If you want to serve God, you have to be faithful. You have to be consistent. You have to be loyal. Now, I want to say that this is one thing that God has blessed our church with. And it is a great thing. God has blessed our bishop, Bishop Dag, with the revelation on loyalty, disloyalty, excuse me. And it is something that whenever it is preached, it always stirs up good things. A lot of times when I go out to other churches other than denomination, that's one of the things that I share, the topic of loyalty, disloyalty. And I believe that is one of the things that has kept us together. That is why Bishop can be all the way in Africa and there are churches all over the world. It's because we have learned. It's a culture in the church. It's not just a culture that belongs to the church, but it's a spiritual culture that everyone should learn. Because it's a Christian thing. We just read, isn't it? Yeah. That it is required of a steward. If you want to be a servant of God, you have to learn to be faithful. Amen. Yes, to be loyal. Even when things are uncomfortable. It's just like a marriage. You know? Yeah. When you marry, you have to stay loyal. Amen. That's why we go before the altar and we say, "In for better and for worse." Yeah. Bishop Oyedepo says he didn't say the for worse. As far as it's concerned, it's only for better. Because you should always be good. Amen. Yes. But the truth is that we have to learn. Sometimes it doesn't depend on us. Of course, it takes two to tango, isn't it? When you are trying to be loyal and the other person. But so one of the things I always tell people that I counsel, that don't be the cause of a break. Do you see? Yes. If the other one wants to walk away, it's their own problem. But don't be the one. Amen. Amen. So I believe it's a very important thing. And tonight I want to just touch on one aspect of it. So it is our culture to preach and to share on it regularly, to remind us, because we don't want our church to split. We don't want our church to break apart and, you know, go into different factions. No, we don't want that. So we teach it. And tonight I want to share with you the concept of the north wind. All right? The north wind. The north wind is a wind of exclusion. It excludes. Let's turn our Bibles to Proverbs 25 and verse 23. Proverbs 25 and verse 23. Proverbs 25 and 23. Today the AC didn't come on time, right? No. Oh, conquer it, don't worry. We know how to conquer it. All right. Proverbs 25, 23. Moses, you are not married yet. You understand what I'm saying? No, it's you. The fact that you are getting engaged on Saturday, engagement does not mean that you are married. There are two different things. When you have an engagement, you don't have a license to do anything. So you are warned. If the verses slow down again, we'll water you down.
Yes.
So Proverbs 25, 23, it says, the north wind driveth away rain. The north wind driveth away rain. You know, I like I like studying and diving deep into scriptures. So a lot of times I will look at a scripture in different versions, look at the Greek, look at the Hebrew. Yeah. You know, when we were growing up in this church, we're taught a lot of things which I think some of it is dying off. You cannot be a shepherd in this church at that time, and I think we should bring it back,
yes,
without having certain tools, okay? One of it is a Strong's Concordance. Yeah, a Strong's Concordance. A concordance just gives you the Hebrew and Greek words, okay? The Old Testament was written in what? Hebrew. And then the New Testament in Greek. And then it was translated into English. So sometimes when you go back to the Greek and Hebrew words, it gives you a deeper understanding of scriptures. Not the whole scripture, but words, specific words, you see. So the Strong's Concordance will say GR or Hebrew, H-E-B, and then to give you the number, and then to give you a meaning, to tell you where other places the same word occurs, okay? Now, those are two things you should get. And these days, all these things are available on like e-copies, isn't it? There's a Dix e-copy and all that. Now, when I looked at, this is the first time I looked at this way, and I realized that some versions confused this particular verse, all right? And that is why I always say that read the Amplified. Are you here or you've gone home?
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I always say that read the Amplified version with the King James side by side so that you do not make mistakes, okay? So look at this. It says, the north wind driveth away rain. So the north wind actually drives away rain. It's a wind that when it comes, it takes rain further away from us. So it's comparing that to an angry countenance, looking angry. So he says that as the north wind, go back a little bit first. Go back to the King James. King James. So, look at this, he went ahead of me, but it's fine. The north wind driveth away rain, so that an angry countenance backbiting tongue. So, what he's saying is that just like how the north wind would take away rain, when you have an angry countenance, it also takes away backbiting. You see? Because the north wind is a wind of exclusion. And in the same way, When you have an angry countenance, it also excludes or moves away a backbiting tongue. Yeah. And that is how we should be. We must be angry when somebody comes and is trying to backbite. We'll get into it a little bit. Now, look at this in the Amplified. It's saying opposite. Look at it. The north wind brings forth rain. So does a backbiting tongue bring forth an angry countenance. You see, it's trying to explain it in some manner, but it's almost opposite what the King James said. But if you read the King James first, before you read that, then you can understand. So just be careful now. I just noticed this for the first time today. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, there are certain things that we need to drive away. Do you see? Yeah. And in fact, it is even, and let's not be religious here, it is even appropriate at certain times to even drive certain people out of the church. It is true. I don't think I've gotten to that level yet. But yes, I've walked somebody out before, like Ruby walk out. But it is important, all right? Because certain things should not, and we must not underestimate things. In fact, recently somebody left the church, and when the person gave me the reason for leaving the church, I said, that's it. That's it. I'm not bringing the person. I mean, sometimes when people are leaving, we try to talk to them and coax them and please stay, don't go. It's good. Go. Because it is very important. We should not underestimate that, all right? Because like the Bible says, just a little leaven leaveneth the bread, isn't it? Just a little yeast will just affect the whole bread. So sometimes when you have people who are in a certain situation, they are disgruntled, they are not happy, and look, you won't be blessed in a church that you are not happy with the pastor. You won't be blessed. You see? So even out of love, please, just find another church where you can receive and benefit. Okay, so there are certain things that we need to apply the north wind approach to exclude. And when I say exclude here, I don't necessarily mean leave the church, but to sort of cut that off. This cannot be. It's very important. Listen, we are not a perfect church. I am not a perfect pastor. Lady pastor is not a perfect lady pastor. We are not perfect. There's nobody here that is perfect. That is not the idea. What we are trying to achieve is that despite even the deficiencies, we can still remain and stay focused and keep moving forward. And we get better and better and better and better. Yeah. I'm telling you, we get better and better and better. Recently, not too long ago, I went somewhere. I think it was Reverend Bryant's church. Then he was still pastoring the Temple Church. And I've narrated this story before. I met a guy there that was with us when we started the church. We started this church in a small living room somewhere in somebody's home in the Northeast. It should be like 3-4 of us. And he started coming. And I remember when I'm preaching, those days, when Bishop, anything he does, I'd copy. I try and do the same thing. So those days, when Bishop preaches, he will sing. And I'll try preaching and singing. And this lady with her husband, they'll just be laughing at me. I mean, you can see doing praise. They're laughing. Yeah. Total disregard. So recently, he came around when Reverend Brian was having his baby dedication, because he's also a good friend of Reverend Brian. And he saw me. And now he's treating me like a Hollywood star. Wants to take pictures with me, you know, trying to relate with me as though he's known me. And he's known me for, and I was also very responsive. You see, but what I'm saying is that things get better and better and better. You see, we are not perfect. The way I am now, I should be better in 2 years or 3 years. I should be moving on. And as I move on, you also moving on. isn't it? That is how life is. So we have to be very, very careful. So what are some of the things that we should exclude with the north wind? Number one is a backbiting tongue. And we can use a scripture that we just read. See, the north wind driveth away rain, so that an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. Now, what is backbiting? Backbiting a person is some is when you bite someone behind them. You lack the boldness. You lack the boldness and the confidence to stand and say it in front of them. So when they turn and they are going, then you bite. It's not a good thing. It is not a good thing. And it is something that we must discourage. It must not be in the church. You shouldn't gather to backbite the pastor. You should not gather to backbite a sister. You should not gather to backbite Sister Macaria. It should not. It's not a good thing. Do you see? And this verse shows you clearly that God is not happy with it. And it is something that must be excluded. So, we from years, you see, me that there are some things that you cannot succeed with me. And you would not even try. You cannot come and stand in front of me and backbite Bishop or Apostle. It won't work. You cannot come and backbite Kenneth Hagin. Yeah. Bishop Adepo says that if you go somewhere and you dare speak against Kenneth Hagin, he will take his Bible and he will walk out. You shouldn't. Amen. When somebody is backbiting someone, just look angry. I mean, the way you should look at the person should instantly make the person stop.
Yes.
Yeah, the person would instantly feel like going to the bathroom just by your look. Yes, that's the way it should be. So a backbiting tongue is something that must be flushed out of the church.
Amen.
Amen. So next time somebody comes to you and is trying to backbite, tell me, we don't do that here. We don't do this here. This is not something that we do in this place. This place is getting hot. Let's hurry up. Number two, slander. All right? Slander comes from the Hebrew word lashan. It means to use the tongue to defame, abuse, scandalize, belittle, blacken the character of another. That is what lashan means. To defame, to abuse, to scandalize, to belittle, blacken the character of another. That is slander. And it is not a good thing. Look at what David said in Psalm 31, verse 12-13. Psalm 31, 12 to 13. It says, I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. I am like a broken vessel. It breaks you down. Yeah. You see, because no matter how strong a person is, when you hear negative things, it affects you in a certain way. I mean, you can make all the noise you can, but when you are lying on the bed alone and your head is on your pillow, you'll be thinking that this thing that the person... Yeah. I have not had the opportunity of being slandered much, at least to my hearing, but a few occasions. One of the occasions I remember very well was when somebody said that I come to church to chase girls. Yeah, we're on yeah, on Ron Street. Yeah, and one of the sisters that I'm very free with, I was preaching one when she walked in. She was a little late, and there was attention. So I said, "Oh, you look very nice today." She had a hat. She had a hat on. very gorgeous hat, and she walked in. I was preaching. I said, "You look very nice today." Okay? Yeah. And the person was very upset. Yeah, a little elderly woman, very upset. And she said she left the church with her friend. They stopped coming to church. And later on, I heard that the reason, one of the reasons they gave was that the pastor comes to church to chase girls. And the pastor comes to admire from the pulpit. Hey, I was very surprised. Yeah. Because by God's grace, as long as that thought has not even occurred to me. Yes. I'm coming to chase you. I mean, that's what I was about. I have a wife that I haven't finished chasing. I've been chasing ever since I was young. I'm still chasing. And she's very hard to get. I haven't finished chasing. It's true. Brother Frank, you are surprised. Yeah. I'm not done yet. I'm still in the process. You see? How do I have time to? I don't even, to begin with, I didn't even know where that sister lived. I mean, have numbers. As a pastor, I must have your number. I must have numbers so I can call and check on people and all that. But other than that, you see, why do you have to say such a thing? You see? And for somebody to hear it and come and tell me means that she's been saying it around. My first reaction for a bit was I was very sad. That why should somebody even think this way of me? You see, it breaks you down. Yeah. It weakens you. See, and that's what David was saying, that I've become like a broken vessel. You hurt me. You said something very bad to me. You see, and sad people must not be tolerated. You see. And you must exclude such people. Amen. Yes, like the north wind. Yeah. You must stand against such people. Don't say this. Yeah. Don't say this. Don't you don't why are you saying such a thing? Shut up. Yeah. You see. And these are the things, these are the things that we must learn. Because these are the things that hold us together. We are not saying we are perfect, though. We are not. We have faults. I am chief faulter, if there's a word like that. Yeah. But we are saying that despite that, for the sake of the work and for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of advancement and for the sake of growth and multiplication and doing the work of God, let us still keep together. Eh? And one of the ways we can keep together is to have this exclusion of the north wind that will stand against backbiting, will stand against slander. We will not take that. You must not be in a place that somebody is slandering apostle and you are just there. And then when they crack a joke about it, it's night. No. You must. What are you trying to say? You must not be in a place that somebody is slandering bishop and then you are sitting down quietly. Yeah. In fact, sometimes when you go to some of our meetings they are very wild people. In fact, they are specialists, people who are specialized in just defense ministry of the church. You are, if you dare say something wrong, even if it's a slip of tongue, you'll be so sorry that your tongue slipped. And I'm saying that this is what is keeping us together. Yeah, this is what is keeping us together. And these things, and when you learn it, you'll be surprised how much, even in the secular, outside work, it will be a great blessing to you. Are you understanding it? All right? So backbiting, slander. Another thing that we must exclude is a double-tongued person.
Amen.
Yes, double-tongued. Like a snake. When a snake brings out tongue, see that it's two. Diabolos, isn't it? In 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8. 1 Timothy 3, 8. Moses is doing it again. Moses. 1 Timothy 3, 8. It says, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued. Now you forget about the others. Not giving too much wine, not greedy, etc. We are not looking at that today. But double-tongued. You must not be double. You cannot speak two languages. Yes. You cannot praise and then criticize. You cannot, you know, some people, when they see you, hey, Reverend, hey, Reverend, wow, Reverend, Reverend. I mean, while you've been sorting us at home. Yeah. You wait till we start appearing in your house. Yeah. I told you of that vision that Kenneth Hagan shared, that one, a pastor one day just, he was praying, and then the Lord said to him, arise, go to Nineveh.
Yeah.
Go knock on the door. Behold, there are people gathered just insulting you. Yeah, so he arose and he went to Nineveh. This time he didn't disobey, and he went to knock on the door, and lo and behold, church members had gathered, and that. So when they saw him, they almost passed out. Yeah. So he said, oh, I was praying, the Lord said I should come because you people are just insulting me here. The Lord should give such a gift to all the pastors. Yes. Will appear in your house. Will even appear in your house in midnight when it's just you and your wife. And you are criticizing the church. It's sad, isn't it? Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I believe you are not like that. All right. Another area of people, such kind of people that we must drive out, exclude, are people who give evil criticisms, evil critics. Evil critics. Yes. Evil critics. You see, when you criticize, what you are doing is that you are actually inviting curses on you. Do you know that? Yes. You are actually inviting curses on you. And Pastor, I've been doing it for a bit of time. I've been doing it for a long time. I've criticized several people and it's like nothing has happened to me. You wait. Yeah, that's the usual thing. We get comfortable with certain things because you haven't seen the effect yet. Yeah, but the effect is accumulating. And the day it comes on you, you won't be happy with yourself. Look at Miriam and Aaron in Numbers chapter 12. You know the story, but let's read it again. So in Numbers chapter 12, verse 1, it says, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. You see, this should make you very scared. Because what Moses did was wrong. He was not supposed to marry an Ethiopian woman. They were not supposed to marry out there, outside there. It is wrong. He had done the wrong thing. But yet, they were not supposed to speak against it. You see, so don't justify your criticism or your criticizing to the fact that it is right. I mean, the guy is a thief, so you are criticizing him. If we understand this, we would even be very careful when we even hear that a man of God has fallen. Yeah. You should be very careful when you hear that a man of God has made a mistake, and then you start laughing. Bishop said one day he was somewhere with some senior pastors, and they were laughing at some of the senior pastors were laughing at another man of God who had made a mistake. He said, just pointed to him and said, careful now. Careful now. Yeah. The fact that the person is wrong does not mean you are justified. So Miriam and Aaron, they felt that, this thing that Moses has done, he's really made a big mistake. So they criticized him. They speak against him. And they said, had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses, had he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. You see, when you start criticizing a man of God, what you do is you are actually cutting off the blessing of the anointing on his life to you. Because it's like, hey, this our guy Moses, he's beefed. You understand the word beefed? I mean, he's gone astray and he's married or he's done something that God said he should not do. What is left of him? What anointing is left of him? So that is what they mean by, and they said, had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses, I mean, the anointing on his life is finished. God can also speak to me. God can also speak to us also. So they were very, very upset with Moses. Then verse 3 says, now the man Moses was very meek above all men, which were upon the face of the earth. For when the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and to Aaron and to Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And the three came out. Yeah, you wait till the Lord calls you. One day, Kenneth Hagin went somewhere, and I think he was a visiting minister. You hear me talk about Kenneth Hagin because he's a father to Bishop. He's my grandpa. I say he's my grandpa. And he went for a program. And as he ministered, at the end, I think another pastor had done something wrong. A junior pastor or somebody had done something wrong. And the senior pastor had sort of disciplined him. So the senior pastor asked Kenneth Hagin, I made a comment to Kenneth Hagin, don't you see that it's good? What I did is good. We did this, etc. to this. And then Kenneth Hagin said, oh yeah, I concur, it's okay. So he went home. He went to lay down. In the middle of the night, he said, and Kenneth Hagin was a great prophet, he said his room lit up, okay? It lit up like afternoon, in the middle of the night.
Wow.
Yeah. And the Lord spoke to him. Right, not that vision, though. This is real, real. This is a man who has seen Jesus a couple of times. Yeah, one of the visions, Jesus just took a chair, sat by him, and spoke to him for a couple of hours. So the voice said to him that, who art thou that judges another man's servant? Yeah. Just by saying, I conquer. Not that you even did it, though. But somebody has done it, and the person is like, do you agree with me? Oh, I agree with you. Yeah. And we judge. We judge so easily. Isn't it? Yeah. Especially things that we don't understand. I mean, by the law, Moses was not supposed to have married this Ethiopian woman, but he did. Do you know whether God gave him some special permission or some special rights or some excuse to do it? You don't know. So God said, hey, Moses, Aaron, Miriam, come.
And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Why? You should be afraid. You should be afraid. We should be afraid. Yeah. In fact, I was just telling little pastor, I think a few days, I said, what bishop has rejected? It's you have to be very careful. Yes, we have to be very, 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 even to think a certain way about him, you have to be very careful. You have to be very careful. Yeah. And says verse 9, the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. You see, God didn't even say anything anymore. It says the anger of the Lord was kindled, and then he departed. It just takes the anger of the Lord. Just, do you understand what anger means? Yeah, for somebody to just be bored with you. He hasn't said anything, but just being bored with you, is countenance towards you has changed. That alone is enough to spark off miserable things. And the cloud departed from the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us. Now you are begging. But it may be too late. Yeah? Sometimes you may be surprised that even certain things that you're suffering that you can't explain. Could be. I'm not saying it is. I said could be. Turn to your neighbor and say, do you know that there's a difference between could be and is? Yeah. Last one. People who cause divisions must be driven away from the church. Yeah. Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Northwind. We are supposed to mark them. Yeah. We're not supposed to be causing divisions. Anyone who causes divisions should be marked. Yeah, because what we are trying to do, as I said, we are trying to gather. Why do you want to divide? Anybody who causes divisions according to the word of God here must have the north wind exclusion by avoiding them. Because what they are going to do is they're going to break up the church. I believe that God is helping us. Amen. And as we grow, as we move forward as a church, these things will be part of us, and we'll make sure that we keep them in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Put your hand on your heart as we close and pray for yourself, pray for your heart, and ask God to help you. Say to the Lord, Lord, help me, help me, help me, Lord, help me, Lord. May I not be disloyal. Bible says it's required of stewards, it's required of servants that a man be found faithful. May you be faithful. Ask God to help us. Ask God to help you. Jesus, yes, help us. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Father, thank you one more time for tonight. Thank you for a great opportunity to hear again the importance of loyalty and faithfulness. May we forever be faithful. May we be faithful to the end, Lord, that we may receive the rewards that you have set for us.
We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's take a quick